4 CBA Mobile.
Kilo P.
ULV KB4CBA. See here. Is that you, Chad?
4ULP, this is Alexander. David, not Chad.
Alexander, I was just testing to see if you remembered your own name.
So what you been up to?
Out playing a little tennis. Headed to the house now.
Yeah, we were at a retreat a few weeks ago, and there's a few tennis courts, and so I tried my hand at tennis. I wouldn't say I was too good at it, even though I did enjoy it.
Easiest sport to pick up, and some people kind of have a knack for it. One thing I think that helped me out a lot was I started playing badminton before I was even a teenager. We used to play badminton, and we never played for points. We just tried to hit it, keep it going, and I think that kind of, honed my skills for tennis, and then I started playing tennis when I was a teenager, but yeah, I played on and off for years there. Not a serious player.
I have tried badminton. I do not like it. I'm better at tennis than I am at badminton. I just not that coordinated to be able to pull that off.
I still make plenty of mistakes. Most of the time, I know, what I did wrong, and I know what to do to correct it. Sometimes it's just, you just can't help yourself, because of the way the shots hit back to you or whatever. But, I play on clay, so, plays a little unpredictable at times, especially if the ball hits the line. It has a tendency to bounce higher than it normally would, and if you can't really anticipate that, and that can really mess your shot up. If you're expecting it to bounce 3 feet high and it bounces 5 feet high.
David, I got a quick question for you. I know there's some type of field day coming around this time of year. Has that already passed, or are they doing it, or what?
Would you repeat that? I apologize. I was down in a hole here on Antrim Drive, and I didn't copy all of that.
So, don't they do some kind of, spring, summer field day around this time of year? Are they doing that, or is that already passed?
Tennis.
Ham radio field day,
Okay. Honestly, I don't know. I haven't been going to club meetings, so I don't really know what's going on. You could look on one of the club meeting, whichever one you prefer, and it'll have a calendar of events, and it'll tell you when field day is. I just can't remember that. It's different for different clubs.
I might be mistaken here, but I thought there was one big field day where, established, by the ARRL, and, everybody recognizes it, and that's, one day where a whole bunch of field operators operating all at the same time. I don't know.
Well, You could go on their website, ARRL.org, and see. I just don't know, and I'm sure there's probably somebody listening that could help you out with that.
I'll go check out their website and see what they have there, and if they have any information on it. I know it was, I heard it mentioned, I took a break off the, I haven't been on the air that much lately, so haven't, you know, heard too much of. I know, I can't remember if they did a spring or summer one. I know they had a winter one. I was just wondering because I'd like to attend and, you know, I guess meet more of the ham radio community.
I used to be a member of the Greer Club, and I just haven't been really since COVID, I just haven't started going back, so I've been to a few of the DX meetings that they hold at what's the name of that restaurant? Anyway, I can't even think of the name of the restaurant, but it'll be, I think the meeting will be this Thursday. It's at 6 o'clock, and, the restaurant's around the corner of Highway 290 in Wade Hampton. I just can't think of the name of it. It's kind of a Greek rep. Mythos, that's it.
Restaurant is what I'm understanding?
Once a month. It's the third Thursday of every month, and if I'm not mistaken, this Thursday will be the third Thursday in June. So it'll be this Thursday at Mythos. It's right there on the corner of 290, Super Road and Wade Hampton. Super Road and Wade Hampton. So diagonally across the street from IHOP.
I may know where you're talking about. I'm not sure. Not too familiar down towards that area. So yeah, I don't know if I'd get a chance to attend or not. Is this like, do you have to like be a member to join or go to the meeting, or just like free for all as long as you're a ham radio operator or what?
No, you don't have to be a member. You just show up, and of course you, you know, they eat supper there. So you know, you would be, if you want to eat, you'd have to pay for your meal and that sort of thing. But other than that, it's you know, just it's my understanding anyway that. I mean, they let me show up, so if they'll let me come, I'm sure they would let anybody show up.
I don't know if we'd have time to fit that in the schedule. I would like to attend some kind of club or meeting just to see how I like it. I haven't gotten around to attending any or joining any clubs yet, but yeah.
Or do you live in the Greenville area or Traverse Rest or where?
Well, P, I am based in Traverse Rest, and yeah, fairly close. A few minutes away from North Greenville University.
Well, you'd probably be closer to the Greer Club, you know, and just take, come in on 290, and they meet, I can't remember. It's the Woodman of the World building, and I can't think of the name of the the road it's on, but anyway, but you could just Google the Greer Amateur Radio Club, and I'm sure it would probably come up on Google KB4CBA.
I'm tongue-tied and no memory in 4OVQ.
Go ahead, Alexander.
I've heard a good bit about the Greer Club. No, I have a ham radio neighbor, and he's a member of the Greer Club, and, not to, say anything down or any club or anything. I've, never gone to any of them, but heard a lot of good things from the Greer Club. Not that the other clubs aren't any good. And, that's just what I've heard. I have never experienced any of them.
I mean, I was a member and attended, not every meeting, but intermittently, I guess you could say, before COVID hit, and paid my dues, and but after COVID hit, and it's kind of settled down. I just haven't gotten back into it, but there's always a program and presentation, and there's a wealth of knowledge sitting in the room there. You can pick somebody's brain about just about anything. So, it'd be a great group of guys to hook up with.
I've always wanted to try that out. One of my main interests was I'm not sure if this would ever happen or not. This kind of my brain turning and thinking that I think I'd be just my personal opinion to try to get a little bit more youth involved in the ham radio. I mean, I've talked to a few that I know, and generally, none of them my age have no clue what the ham radio is at all. Completely, not even the CB, no type of radio that you talk on. They don't even know what exists and, what has it. So, but you talk to older people like my dad and, even my great uncle who's 80, he knows what it is. And just like to bring it back to the younger people. I don't know if that ever be possible or not. I don't think I could do it on my own. I definitely need some support. And as I said, not making any moves for it to happen right now.
You could talk, I don't know who you would talk to there at the school, but you could talk with somebody. You could start, I would imagine they would let you start a ham radio club. I mean, you have other clubs there at the school. I don't see why they wouldn't let you start one. And, you might find some people that are interested in finding out more about that. And that would be something to do.
But only problem is I can't really start a club because I'm homeschooled right now. So I was thinking of my main vision was going to different schools and maybe giving a presentation. But that's still a lot of work. And as I said, this is just kind of my idea that I just kind of came up with, and I doubt it ever happened though.
Okay. Well, I didn't realize you were homeschooled. I guess I just made that assumption that you attended class in a classroom setting. But anyway, well, let me jump out of here. I'm pulling in the garage, and I'm gonna go in the house and get cleaned up. It's been a hot hour and a half out there on the court, so needless to say, I need to clean up a little bit. But it's good to talk to you. Good to hear you. I've noticed that you haven't been on the air, and I'm glad to hear you back on there. But anyway, 73 is now clear out here for your final KP4 CPA.
David, have a good rest of your evening, and enjoy the nice cold shower after that hot, yeah, it would be a hot day to play tennis anyway. 7-3s, and this is KO4 UBLP, and I'll be clear.
I was just aggravating you in 4OVQ. I have the same problem.
In 4OVQ and 4DJC, how you doing, Stacy?
Lord, I was about to call you. You hit the button. By the time I say push it, I'm doing good, Jerry. How you doing?
I thought my radio was broke the last couple of days. I hadn't heard many people on here at all. Anyway, I talked to Keith a little earlier today, and I hadn't heard you on in a while. If I knew you, I think you work on Monday and Tuesday, don't you?
Yeah, I come out here yesterday, and I didn't stay out here long. Of course, you know the situation, but now I ain't got to get up to work in the morning. I'm sitting out here out back, but I got a fan on me. But, been with my girlfriend a good bit and that kind of stuff. You know how it is.
Finishing up they brought in some dirt for the lot next where the house next door was leveling all that out. So there's two noise outside and went outside for about an hour this afternoon. They went just about swim, it's so humid.
Well, Keith brought me my radio by here the other day. It seemed like he told me that he was meeting y'all at Texas Roadhouse or something.
We go on Thursday afternoon. We've probably been, I think, wife and I have been that afternoon. I think he was headed on over that. I would have made him hungry talking about it or what.
I don't remember what day it was. I asked him, I said, what y'all doing over this way? They might have been going. And it could have been that he heard y'all talking about it or whatever, that they decided to go. But I thought maybe they was meeting you and maybe your wife or something. But, he brought my TYT back. He redid three radios for me. That had two of them been acting up, and I needed one, the DMR radios, and one wouldn't, I couldn't clear out of the, you know, off the talk group, so he had to redo that.
I heard him saying he was coming into town, but I tell you, I just remember now, we were talking to David, KB4CBA, he was going to Texas Roadhouse to pick up something for lunch or something. And Keith and I got talking about it. I told him, I said, we usually go on Thursday afternoon, but they don't open up till 3 o'clock here in town. And we got to talk about that. And I don't remember what day it was. It might have been Thursday. It might have even been Friday for all I know now. My memory ain't too good anymore.
It used to be Thursday, and we missed it Thursday, so we went Friday. KB4CHY.
You start talking about them and they show up.
Sometimes, boy, you have to be careful, but it kind of slipped me on that one. I had no idea he would pop in. Hey, Keith, KN4CHY and 4OVQ, go ahead.
Good evening, Jerry. Jerry, tried that 6-ounce filet. And was kind of surprised at the price, and it was really good. But, man, they were packed out. So service wasn't all that great, but the meal was good. They kind of overdone the wife steak, but, mine was about perfect. And, you know, a filet for $20, that's pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah, we don't usually get to filet. We used to go early, and we went early on Thursday. Well, we ran a little bit late on Thursday. There was a line out the door. Luckily, we got in, but if you don't get in early over there, like before 3 o'clock or something, it just takes, I mean, the wait's forever. And we've always had good service, but we go early. We're like the first two or three to go get in there whenever we go, Keith. And that, I'm sure that makes a difference, but I've never had a filet. I usually just get the regular 6 ounce sirloin. It's a dollar off on Monday through Thursday. Well, yeah, Monday through Thursday is a dollar off, but then again, you know, they don't have anything. I don't think they have the filets on sale, but still, the filet's still cheaper than his other places, I think.
I was real pleased with the price, so I went ahead and got it, and we actually purposely went late, thinking, you know, the evening crowd would die down some, and it had not died down any. So it took a while, but it was worth the price, that's for sure. We just don't get over in Anderson much. That's the biggest problem. I usually save up multi-stop trips to go to Anderson, and that one was drop that radio off to Stacy, go to Texas Roadhouse, and to pick up a laptop.
He was talking about those center cut sirloins. So we found those. They had one pack of them left, one pack of two. And that's a heck of a thing, about 2 inches thick. And I didn't think I could cook them that thick. I figured I'd burn them up, so I didn't get them. But they didn't look good, though, but they were just a lot thicker than what I usually cook. And they were pretty reasonable, too. They were about 7 or 8 ounces a piece, I think.
They are thick. I know people are going to cringe, but I do them in the oven, kind of slow roast them in the oven, and then reverse sear and do a little garlic butter on top of them, and they're really good.
Good anyway, really, some that thick. That's what a lot of places have done them anyway, but I've got a small charcoal with. I put mine, I just get them seared on both sides, just set them off the fire, just kind of let them, almost like a smoker, you know, don't have any heat, direct heat on them, anything like that, just let it go through there and let it do that. And I might try them that way, but they're a little bigger, a little thicker than what I'm comfortable trying to cook, because I just didn't know what I could get them. Yeah, I like mine about medium, I know I can get them medium or get them raw or burn them up.
My wife just piped up and says, you can't get them too raw. She likes her medium rare. We'll go rare, but usually out eating, it'll be medium rare at best. I like mine kind of medium, but I use a temperature probe on them. So I just, like I said, I let it kind of slow roast until it hits. I found out that you can go to about 100 and a quarter and pull them out, and they'll get up to about 145, which is about perfect for me.
AN4OVQ. Well, both of y'all is familiar with the WPRS, blah, blah, blah. Watch the video today, and this is the guy that makes the J-Pos, KB4 something. KB something, blah, blah, blah. Anyway, he was telling about the path. And, you know, like P1 is all, P2 is Y-1, and then you got P3, and it's Y-1, and he said Y-2-2. And he said, that's mostly what you run if you own a handheld, blah, blah, blah. Does that make any sense to have Y2-2?
Forgot it. What I have mine set at also, I think Bob Baringo was something on his site that kind of, you know, led you in that direction of just using, you know, Y2-2s. Since it was, you know, developed. If you're in populated areas, you could get away with less, but the way we are, you wanna get a couple of hops out of it anyway.
It confuses me because he went and showed on the program it had Y1 and then Y2-1, but he said 2 in the video. So I looked at mine, and it says fixed, and it's Y1 and Y2-1. They ain't no 2 on it like what he said.
You should be able to change it to Y2-2. I just run Y2-2. And basically all that does is it's kind of part of the spec. So when that goes out from your radio, the first digipeater or iGate will pick it up, and it'll subtract 1 off the end of it, so it'll go down to Y2-1. It stores it, and then it spits it out again. And the next digipeater picks it up, and it says Y2-0. And that's the end of it. So it stores it, and it don't send it back out over.
I get that. But mine, I can't change. When I go to where it says Y2-1, I said, okay, I'm going to see if I'm putting on Y2-2. And if I hit enter or whatever, it won't do nothing. There's no way that I found yet to change that. But I was just watching his video, and he says basically you can end up with like 3 hops and then it's over with. So far right now I only get 2. So I was gonna see if I could change that, but I don't see how to change it. And it says fixed. So I don't know, unless you know something I don't know.
Know anything about it? I'm not sure what the context is. Almost any tone you can beacon out a fixed location or GPS, but I'm not sure in the past what that would what it would do. I've not read up on that part of it a lot.
This has something to do with the way the Yazoo's programmed, and even then, you still ought to be able to build a path on it that's different than what's built into, you know, the radio has the original path usually built into it, which is the Y, you know, into 2-2 or 2-1, or actually 2-3, I think, is one if you're out in the middle of nowhere. But they don't like you using that if you're up at altitude or in your real dense area where you got a lot of iGates around. I believe that's the way I read it originally. And it's just, Y2-2 is what I've used. I think that's the only one I've used as far as the, you know, they call that the new end paradigm is what he calls that, I believe. But, and it's, it won't, like I said, it'll go 2 jumps, I think, like Keith said, I think it takes 1 off. But, it's just, you know, rarely do they recommend going to 2-3, 2-2, I believe, is the second one. But you, like I said, you might be able to change that in that path, the APRS path, on the radio where it's got a blank spot in it. Stacy, is that making any sense at all?
Because when I went past where it says Y-1 and then the next under it says Y2-1, I said, okay, how do I change that to a 2? I think you got to go to the 4 spot and maybe put the 2-2 in there, if that makes sense.
I don't know about that. I know that, for instance, when you have to set a path like for the International Space Station, you have to use it in that other zone that they have, and you have to kind of just have to spell it out. But I'm not sure if you get that second one, whether you do it, or if you can modify that. It should have 1, and then the next one ought to be the 2-. You ought to be able to change that from 2-1 to 2-2, but if not, you might be able to go to the next one and just put that one in manually as a 2-2, but I'm not sure if that's correct or not. Keith can probably correct me on that because it's been a while since I fooled with it.
You're right on that. The P1, they call it, that's all. P2 has got Y-1. P3 is Y-1 to Y-2-1. This guy kept saying 2-2, but on the screen on his radio, it kept just showing 1. So I don't know if he made a mistake. So I said, okay, how can I change this till 2? And I couldn't find no way to do it unless I go to the 4 spot and put it in there. And then I don't know where to go from there, but I just said, okay, well, if that's all, he said HTs. And you got, like, in other words, if I hit a digipeter, it shows a line from me to the digipeter into one more. Well, that's only 2-1, right?
Is that what you understand it, Keith?
So let's see, the first one should get it. It'll take it down to 2-1. And then the second one would get it, and that'd take it down to 2-0, and it wouldn't go out again. So I'm thinking if it's 2-1 to begin with, then it should... I'm thinking that first one, the first digipeter it hits, it's not going to go any farther. But yeah, like I said, I had read somewhere that basically 2-2 is the default now, so that's the only thing I've got in mind. And 2, what about, can you change it in software maybe?
He was saying 2-2, and he's showing the software, but his software said Y-1 and then Y-2-1. I never seen a 2 in his program or on his radio. So I said, okay, why is he saying 2-2 when neither one that he showed a 2? Not a 2-2. So I'm trying to figure out, well, how come I can't change mine to 2-2? I don't know, unless like what Jerry was saying, I can go to the P4 and manually put something in there and maybe see how that works. I'm just not sure.
If you guys correct me on it, but station, that thing is it's got a fixed one already in the radio, and then it goes in like that's like P1. And then P2 is another one, and P3 and P4. But you should be able to take one of those programmable paths is what it is. It should be blank, and you ought to be able to do you just type in, you add it in the radio, like wide, 1-2 or whatever, and then instead of 2-1, put 2-2 in it. And just, I think you just separate it with a comma. Is that the way it shows up?
Got a comma in there, but I'm thinking like you, Jerry. If my P-3 has got Y1 and Y2-1. If I go to P4 and I just put Y2-2 and leave it on that should work, is what I'm thinking.
Put both of them in that same line. Stacy, I think Keith might be able to help me out on that too, because like I said, I don't have anything in front of me right now to see. But if it's got the 2-1 line, like in your P3, if it's got the 2-1 line, put the same first hop in for your P4, and then separate it. I think you separate it, just put the comma behind the first one, then put your second one, which is Y2-2.
Gotcha, and that's the way I'm thinking too, Jerry. I just wanna get what I can get out of using this HT to do the APRS. So I'm like, maybe I can get an extra hop out of it. And the guy says normally you don't want to get over 125 miles away. Oh.
That's the way it's set up on your Kenwood.
You're right. I think it is just a string, and you separate it with commas. But I'll check here in a second. I'm looking at the Yaesu manual now, but yeah, I think this one also just has wide tutu. I could probably take that down since I reliably hit that repeater down in Livonia or wherever it is down that way. So yeah, I could probably drop mine down. Hang on, I'll look it up.
Hitting that one in Carnesville, Keith, that's one I hit mostly, and it'll go one more. But according to new Y2-2, it could go one more. And that's what the guy said normally they run it on. You know, if you're doing an HT, blah, 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 whatever. I'm just new to this. I mean, I like it. And, you know, Jerry, me and you talk about this, and I just enjoy it. But if I get extra hot, I just want to see it.
I think that's what Linger called the new end paradigm, is what he called it. It was back in 2004. And it said one path, when the path should be a two, except for low density locations might handle a three. So you put it as a 2-2, and you can't put it as a three if you're out of the middle of nowhere where you're gonna have to go along, you know, over 100-mile hop to get to another gate. Does that make sense?
OVQ. I did read something about the paradigm. I read that, but I'm just like, okay, according to this video with this guy, I don't know if you even know who I'm talking about, but he makes J-Pos. But anyway, I'm like, okay, he's telling me that a little bit more I could get out of this HT than what I'm doing. And I'm just trying to figure out how to do it. So, I mean, it's not a big deal, but I just want all I can get, just like everything else. So,
make sure I got it there, so I wasn't sure. Yeah, and the Yaesu manual cautions you, if too many relay nodes are set, a beacon sent by one station is repeatedly relayed and can cause communications channel congestion. Try to operate Digipath with out changing settings unless necessary. Still looking to see. Select a digipath from between P1 to P8. P1, P2, P3 are fixed values. So yeah, you apparently can't change those. And then I guess you're just selecting somewhere else one of those to go with, because I mean you wouldn't want to go with all of them over.
P1 is off, and then the P2 is Y-1, and then when you get to P3, it shows Y-1 and Y-2-1. This guy says that would be Y2-2, but his radio wasn't showing it. It was on a Yaesu. Then he showed his program, but he was saying Y2-2, but neither thing I saw, both of them was 2-1. So I just didn't understand. He's showing something, but he's saying something different.
Yeah, he's confused. I just put on P4 go ahead and put the first one as your wide, as you stand, whatever your wide, whatever the one, whatever your first value is on your P3, and then put the comma in it, and then put the wide 2-2 as the second value, and then just set that as your path.
Terry, I'm thinking that's gonna work, or they wouldn't give you them other blank lines to put it in. I'll try it, but I'll know those others already in there, so I know I can go right back to them. Over.
Got it. Keith will follow on this too, I'm sure. When I had the 710, I had to set up multiple paths. I set up a normal, terrestrial APRS, just like what we're talking about now. Then I'd had to set up other paths for like the International Space Station and for the PSAT, NO84 satellite. And for the NO44 satellite, one of them was PSAT, and the other one was like PSAT-2-something. You had several paths that you had to set in order for it to relay through those various satellites. So you had to set them all up. It had the standard setups in there, but it didn't have the path set up for any of the APRS satellites. And of course, other than the space station, the other ones, they've all decayed from orbit now.
I go to P4 and put that in. I got a phone call, y'all. I'll be back.
Y'all just about had a perfect double, but just select the path you want and set that as your path. And you can, I don't know how many, it seems like the Yazoo, I don't know whether it's got more than four paths, off and then three other paths. I don't know how many it's got off the top of my head. I know the Kenwood had a number, it's like five or six maybe that you could set with it, because I would have to set a different one for each satellite. And, for instance, there was one that I used that too, where actually you sent it by APRS, you also sent it by, sent a DTMF code, and it would relay your call sign back through the satellite's voice repeater. Which that satellite's gone too. And there was a bunch of them. I contacted a lot of people on those other satellites just because people didn't use them because they wanted to talk rather than just use APRS on them.
Kind of right up my alley anyway. Like I mentioned earlier, I don't really do a lot of sideband. And the digital modes intrigue me. That's really what got me in the ham radio. I got that old TS-430 from Stacy and bought the signal link, and that's what I made all my contacts with over.
It's hard to get through on those repeaters, the satellite on the ISS and on the Saudi set and the other ones too. It's fun to do it, but it's just call sign and grid squares all in the mountains too. And with APRS, you can have predetermined phrases you use, and it's a lot easier to get in because it's only, one thing, you're just using one frequency. You're not having to cross band up and down. Don't have to worry about the Doppler and any of that other business. So it's a lot easier. To me, it's a lot easier to communicate that way. And I was really disappointed when these other ones decayed, because the other ones were a lot of fun to use. They weren't very busy at all. And the fact that it would go over and you could send it an APRS message and send it a DTMF code, and you had to choose a DTMF code so it would give your call sign and green square back to the next person. It was kind of cool, I thought.
Like you're doing regular spacecraft control type stuff like that. Yeah, that's very cool. And yeah, I believe you're right. On that Yaesu, the first three you can't change, and there's like eight of them in there. So you've got five that you can play around with. But that's what I was confused. I thought it was a cumulative thing, but apparently you can put them all in and then just scroll through the list at that given moment. So that's good. So you can put just Y22 in the number four slot and select it, and that's all you're outputting on over.
Yeah, do that Y1-2 or whatever it is. The first, no, yeah, I think you have to put the first one in that same slot too, and just separate it with a comma. I think that's the way it is. I'm not 100% sure. Like I said, I ain't got it in front of me, so I don't know if that's the way you do it or not.
Lost train of thought.
It's gone kind of cheap a little bit. I had to send a letter down to Columbia today. If you kind of get a grip on what I'm talking about, I talked SLED today, so I sent a letter down there, and we'll see how it goes over.
Good deal. Did you ever hear out of them, or did you just go ahead and initiate the letter?
Called yesterday. I talked to the same lady. I said, look here, I just need to know something. This has got me baffled. She said, here's what we want you to do. And I said, well, okay. I went in to tell her what had happened. And she said, Mr. Rick, that's all I want you to do. She said, what you just told me, write it down on paper, get it notarized, send it to me, and I think you'll be all right. Well, I sent two pages, and the mall manager notarized it for me this morning, and I mailed it. So we'll see. Over.
Bill. Jerry, what's how many are still active on APRS on satellites? I tried to do the ISS repeater a couple of times and never could get a contact, but when I did hear it, it was rather busy.
It's been off for several months. It isn't back on yet to wait on, because that ARISS.org website, it tells you when it's back on again. Right now it's on that crossband force repeater. And when APRS gets back on, they'll change it over. It's really not that hard to get in. You have to beacon pretty often. And they run about 15 watts, so you can hear them good. All you need is, really, if you got a good vertical, and you got to run a little power, probably the vertical on 20 or 25 watts, you ought to be able to get into it pretty easy if it's not directly overhead.
Pretty cool. I didn't realize. I know I'd seen them that they had switched to the voice repeater, and that's what I was talking about. I tried to get in a few times and wasn't successful, but I'll watch for when they switch it back to APRS. That'll be fun to try. This Kenwood and the any tone's the only thing I got now, so I'll have to get something that'll work anyway.
We're fine. And you don't need as much power now either, because it was having some trouble. When they made some modifications to one of the modules, they messed it up sometime about last December, maybe even before then. And they were having, it was acting real wonky for several months, and I think they finally got it straightened back out. They were moving some, it might have been when they put some one of the new radios in, but they got some of the antenna connection is messed up, but that antenna is at the rear of the, I mean, basically it's on the side of the space station, so it's not tumbling. It's pretty, like I said, you can hear it on a, I mean, you can hear it on a handheld for that matter. You may not be able to get into it with a handheld, but a lot of times I did over the years. It feels a pretty good pass. But the way they got it set up, man, I'll be pretty easy to get in. It's not, actually, that's really the only, there are other ones that are supposed to be up, but they're not, I don't think they're full operation. It's an APRS, that you'll be able, you know, they have that capacity, but, you know, I don't think they've got them up and running yet.
I don't check on it a lot, but I guess I did see about them having problems, and then it seemed like a headline on them, you know, possibly solving it. So, but yeah, I hadn't looked back into it lately. I don't know how many times I've looked at those little arrow antennas to think about doing something like that. Have yet to do it. But yeah, if I could get a path out in front of the house here, maybe with my big reflector of a metal roof and the vertical I got, I could hit it over.
Get it up on a rubber duck on a scanner on a handheld, and a time or two with just an extended, you know, just one of those extended 2 meter antennas, I get into it with 5 watts. I mean, that's all I use really was a handheld with 5 watts most of the time. And Stacy's got that. Got that one. He's got it. He can get into it with that, too, for that matter.
I'm going to ask you, Jerry, I watch this same guy, and he would be out, like, in the woods or whatever, using his HT, and he said he made him a digipeater, like, with a 2 meter radio, and he had I think he called it a 10C, whatever. And he said, and he had it set up just to receive his packets only off of his HT. Then it would hit his car, and he said he could get into the digipeater. So, do you know anything about that?
What, did I think I've seen that?
Josh,
is that
the case?
I'm back in California. Antennas and sales them. But I'm sure, Josh, I've watched Josh before, but I hadn't watched it on this issue. I'm just trying to figure out how that works.
Y'all double.
Yeah, okay, I'm sorry. You can, some HTs are, yeah, they have TNCs are capable of doing that. I don't know which ones are. I've heard of that before, but I've never attempted to do it myself.
Just using this thing in the car, or if I want to make a trip, we talking 5 watts. So I've been looking at a mobile amplifier, you know, that do 25 to 40 watts, whatever. And then I'm having to say, okay, want to say this is compatible with DMR. This one you can't do. What if I just want to get on 610? This amplifier won't let me do that because it's for DMR. I'm trying to figure out what kind to get that I can use the amplifier for whatever.
I just go with a rack of radios in the trunk and a big squirrel cage, man, to keep it all cool.
Hang on for a second. Let me see what I got. If you want to do APRS, APRS is analog, it's not digital. So you just use a find you, somebody's got a Mirage, about a 30 watt Mirage, 5 watt in, 30 watt out. That's really all you need for that.
That's what I want to do. I mean, I just want something to do that with, like if I go down to Santee on my way down or on my way to Charleston, and, to be able to hit digipeater all 5 watts, I need a little something over.
That 5/8 wave, it doesn't hit them.
I've hit some right here, you know, going here over the 81 highway, which I don't know how far, 80, 12, 13 miles, but if I hit different ones or an I-gate or something if I get over in that area, but I'm talking about just driving down the road, going through Columbia Dam. I don't know. I have no idea. I just figured I need a little more than 5 watts off that 5/8 wave antenna. I don't know. What do you think, Jerry?